helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. What is truth? That's basically the same question as what is misinformation? I remember a time when truth and lie were determined by facts. You could provide facts that prove what you are saying is true, then most people would believe you. Today, however, when the truth contradicts the narrative, it gets labeled misinformation so people can ignore it. But if the truth is considered a lie, then how can anyone know what is true and what isn't? The term misinformation is not new, but it has been used to great effect the last, half dozen years or so to silence those who oppose the beliefs of the current elite oligarchy. Then, when the truth comes out finally, many people say that, at the time we thought it was a lie. Claims of misinformation have been used to lie about elections, deny people the right to informed consent, and even to control what the American people think. As Benjamin Franklin once wrote, as silence do good, without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far as by it he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer and the only bounds it ought to know. So what does that say about American society and society in the West as a whole? Where the simple label of misinformation turns truth to a lie, turns freedom of speech to freedom to censor, and devoids us of freedom of thought and the ability to obtain wisdom. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. Yes, this is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. We do that for one very, very important purpose, so that we can know what our rights are and learn how to defend and assert them. See, without an anchor, without a known fixed point, it's impossible to navigate anything, including this world. When I was a teenager, my father got his private pilot's license, and I learned to navigate a private airplane. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. But the thing I found the most interesting for today is the fact we used to have charts, and on these charts were marked the fixed positions of things like railroad tracks and power lines, but more importantly, radio stations. You could find a radio station, and by tuning into that radio to a couple of radio stations, you could actually figure out where you were. But what happens when those radio stations, if they moved? See, these radio stations were in buildings. They stayed in the same place. It was possible to navigate. If they all got mounted on trucks who were driving all over the place, well, it'd be pretty hard to navigate. Interesting, because that's how the GPS system works. There are, I don't remember how many dozens of satellites orbiting the Earth, and they're constantly moving. That's why the GPS system requires not just knowing where those satellites are, but it has to know what time it is, because that's how you do the complex math. It makes it very hard to figure out where you are when your reference points are moving. But just as that's true for navigating in physical space, it's true for navigating your life. If what is true today is not true tomorrow, if what is a lie today is found out to be true tomorrow, how do you decide which way to go? It's like trying to find your way through the woods or through across the ocean with a compass that is intentionally set to the wrong position. You look at it and say, well, I don't like the fact that north is that way. I want north to be over there somewhere. So you'd get your magnet out and you move the compass, and then you wonder why you can't get where you want to go. I recently had a conversation with Malcolm Out Loud, and we were kind of talking about this idea of how do we know which way to go? How do we find things are? And if we cannot agree on a definition of truth, well, then how do we navigate anything? I really got thinking about this when I read an article out of the Federalist titled "Misinformation is the Vocabulary of a Culture That Has Lost Its Capacity to Discuss Truth." And it really got me thinking. It all started back with, well, this is your truth, and you have your truth, and I have my truth. And as much as some people fought against that, that to me was a crucial turning point. It was the disconnecting of truth from a fixed standard. Go to Merriam-Webster's Dictionary online and look up the word truth. What you'll find is the body of real things, events, and facts, actuality, or the property of being in accord with fact or reality. In other words, we had a definition for truth. It matched facts and reality. The example being 2 plus 2 equals 4. No matter how often someone would claim that 2 plus 2 could equal 5, it was not true. But we seem to have lost that today. And it's devolved in this idea of all I need to do is throw the moniker of misinformation on something, and suddenly it's treated as if it's not true. And that only works because as a people, we've become disconnected from the concept of truth, from the idea of there is something true. I think it was Daniel Patrick Moynihan that coined the phrase, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. They're not entitled to their own facts. Except today, they are. There are still people that claim everything from the moon landing was a hoax to, pick your poison. The COVID vaccines work. They stop transmission. If you take the shot, you're not going to get sick. Provably false, but people still believe it. And it's one thing to believe it, but the problem is, if they define that as truth, if anything that contradicts that narrative is simply labeled disinformation and ignored, well, then we've gone from a simple point of confusion into stupidity. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, stupidity is more dangerous enemy of the good than malice. One may protest against evil. It can even be exposed and, if need be, prevented by use of force. Evil always carries within itself the germ of its own subversion, in that it leaves behind in human beings at least a sense of unease. Against stupidity, we are defenseless. Neither protest nor the use of force accomplishes anything here. Reasons fall on deaf ears. The facts that contradict one's prejudgment simply need not be believed. It sounds like today, doesn't it? Where facts that don't match up with a person's preconceived notion are simply ignored or wrote off as misinformation. And sadly, this is a very dangerous situation for the Republic. How do you decide who won the election if there's no such thing as truth? How do you decide if an act is constitutional, if the Constitution doesn't mean exactly what it says it means? Now consider this. How many of you have heard someone claim that this something is a threat to our democracy, or that we need to do something to protect our democracy, the American democracy? Except America is not a democracy. It's a republic, and for very good reasons. See, the thing about democracy is it's mob rule. Whoever can get enough people wound up and excited to do a certain thing, they get to rule. And that sounds an awful lot like our political discussions today. It doesn't matter if something is true or not. Can I get enough people to support me? It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Can you get enough people to say what I want them to say to be true? Doesn't matter how much facts, evidence, and contradictory information. If I can get a consensus to agree with me, that will win the day. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a democracy. That's anarchy. Or as Alexander Hamilton put it in the Federal Convention, we are now forming a Republican government. Real liberty is neither found in despotism or the extremes of democracy, but in moderate governments. Put another way, read the book of Judges in the Bible. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's what we're talking about here, the idea that I get to define my truth, or even worse, I'm going to let someone else define what is true for me, not based on facts and data, simply because of their position. Recently, a federal judge issued a preliminary injunction against the White House, many federal agencies, and people in federal government to prevent them from communicating with social media for the purpose of manipulating protected speech, for trying to get information pulled, censored, deplatformed, whatever. And the reason the judge did this was because there was so much evidence of the federal government using this to censor information they did not like, that he said, I have to, even before the case is heard, I have to prevent the federal government from this evil. Those are my words. This is my understanding of it. And again, we see this in so many things. We saw it in the Orwellian disinformation board that the White House wanted to create. We've seen it in the number of social media and even corporate media outlets that simply declare something misinformation and go on and never prove the fact. I've even heard people go so far as to claim corporate media is actually an enemy of the people because they spend as much time providing disinformation and misinformation as they do providing facts, or I should say, providing true information, because they rarely provide facts and data. They seem to simply make it up as they go along, based on a political agenda. Now, we have a freedom of press here in the United States, which means we don't go shutting down newspapers and television programs because they lie to us. But it has to make me wonder, how often can you be lied to and still believe? How often can you look at that compass and realize it's pointing the wrong direction and then still trust it to navigate your life? That's why here at the Constitution Study, we help people read and study the Constitution. We want to open their eyes to what the Constitution actually says, not because I say so, but to look at the actual words of the document. If necessary, to actually go and look at the ink on parchment to see what it actually says. I recently held one of my boot camps, and we had a great time. And for me, the wonderful part was as I was getting going in all this, and I started showing people the truth of what the Constitution says, and they realized that their assumptions were wrong. That we, the people, are not subjects of government. We are its masters. That the federal government does have limited powers, and that we have the tools to push back. But that's exactly the message that people want censored, or I should say, certain people want censored. I've got one guy on YouTube. Pretty much every video I post, I know he's going to say something ridiculous, inane, and absolutely contrary to what the Constitution actually says. But when I point to him the facts, the data, the quotes from the Constitution, the actual references to go citations, so he can go look it up, he almost never responds. He simply ignores facts that he doesn't like and goes on in his prejudiced mind. Now, at first, I used to get frustrated. Can't he see what's right in front? I'm assuming it's a he. Can he see what's right in front of him? Now, in many ways, I almost feel sorry for him. If no amount of facts and data will penetrate his mind to compare what he believes to the truth, there's nothing that can be done to help him. And really, how can you learn anything if you're not willing to listen to different points of view? But what's even worse is when your definition of truth isn't even yours. When I used to teach Sunday school, I used to teach high school Sunday school, I always asked my students, the most difficult question I'll ask you is why. I want to understand why you believe what you believe, why you think what you do. And most of the time, I was looking to see, was it their belief or were they simply parroting what someone else had told them? Sadly, nowadays, there's a lot of parroting what other people have told us. And I think that's dangerous. You see, it's bad enough when you refuse to accept facts and data that contradict your preconceived notions, your own presumptions. How are you supposed to accept facts and data when the assumptions aren't yours? They're somebody else's. And if you want an idea of where this democratic, everybody gets to decide future leads us, I merely quote Vladimir Lenin. Democracy is indispensable to socialism. Now, before I take my break, I want to remind you, you want to find out more about the boot camp I was talking about? Well, go to constitutionstudy.com/bootcamp. I'm still working on the video. You can read more about it. But once I post that lesson, you'll be able to watch the video and take part in the boot camp. Take your first steps into understanding the tools that we have to actually protect ourselves, our rights, and our families. You can also find out more about the Patriots program at constitutionstudy.com/patriots. And as always, I'm still looking for questions. They've really dropped off lately. And I don't know, maybe it's just summertime and people are busy doing other things. But I'm still looking for questions to do a Q&A segment here on the radio program. So, click that Ask a Question button and fill out the form. Hit the checkbox that says you'd like to read it. You'd like me to answer it on the radio. And I'd be more than happy to. Now, before I go, I've talked before about Healthy Cells Immune Super Boost. It combines over a dozen immune supplements in a single, easy-to-use travel-ready gel pack. I like them because I can throw them in my bag and use them when I'm on the go, because it's usually when I travel that I get the crud and I don't feel well. And these are easy to use and easy to travel with. And because you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order. Simply go to AmericaOutloud.shop, that's AmericaOutloud.shop, find the Healthy Cell link with a 25% off, click it, and go to Healthy Cell, and just remember to use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, well, they'll give you 25% off your first order.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at CofixRX.com.
AmericaOutloud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought, working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, Everyday American. Jeffrey joined the Constitution Study, and today we're asking what happens when truth is a lie. We talked about misinformation mostly in the first segment about how that's been disconnected from the truth. Misinformation isn't necessarily misinformation. We've already seen evidence of Twitter and others confirming that factual information was labeled misinformation for the purpose of, well, a political agenda, shutting up a contrary narrative that they didn't want to hear. Now, again, misinformation is nothing new. You've been lied to probably all your life. But it's amazing what happens. I mean, how many times have I said this? How can you tell when a politician is lying? Their lips are moving. What does it say about us that we know people are lying to us? We keep listening to them. Take, for example, a recent press conference or statement released by the one Joe Biden, President of the United States. Now, he was pointing out how the Bidenomics in action, he actually coined a phrase for his own economic platform called Bidenomics. The level of arrogance to that is more than I want to deal with right now. But they pointed out that according to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, the economy added 209,000 jobs this past June. And according to Biden, this is Bidenomics in action. Our economy added more than 200,000 jobs last month for a total of 13.2 million jobs since I took office. Well, okay, first of all, the 209,000 jobs in June was the slowest gain since December of 2020. But he said it doesn't matter. We got something that looks like good news. And they talk about adding 13.2 million jobs. Of course, they don't take into account how many jobs were lost. In other words, it's like, imagine doing addition and subtraction, but only counting the addition. Right? There you are in class, and you've got a list of numbers, and some are additions, and some are subtractions, and you simply add up the additions and say, yep, see, we did more. We're going to ignore all the times we lost jobs. And of course, he said, the inflation rate is down. He said, inflation had come down by more than half. Well, yeah, that's if you just simply ignore the fact that the half that it came down from, the peak of 9.1% last June, he says, yep, see, we've cut it in half since then. Yeah, except remember that when Biden took off in office, inflation was 1.4%. So we're still talking, it's still three times what it was he took office. But you see, yay, see, we're bringing it down. Lies, darn lies, and statistics. Now, the American people can look and see, the economy's not well. Inflation, not only is inflation eating up your paycheck, the jobs that have been added, the payroll increases have been added, haven't kept up with inflation, so you're still losing money. Your real income is not keeping pace. Not a good situation. Well, how about another interesting lie? Well, we'll call it misinformation. So that seems to be the word of the day. See, there was news that was it last week, I think it was, supposedly the global temperatures were the highest ever recorded. Ever. It's the highest ever. Oh my God, we're all burning to death. Well, there's just one problem. The claim came from the University of Maine's Climate Reanalyzer. Now, this claims to be a platform for visualizing, different weather data sets and models. What it really is just another flawed model. They cherry-pick data to produce the desired result. Not one of these models I've ever seen compensate for the fact that many of the temperature sensors in America have been artificially heated because they're not placed in the right place. They're now, where they were once maybe in a green field, they're now surrounded by asphalt and concrete buildings. They also, by the way, this data set goes all the way back to 1979. Yeah. So it's not the hottest of all time. It's actually the hottest since 1979. But how many people have jumped on that announcement and used it to, do everything from claim, I told you so, to push more fake climate science alarmism in the name of we're all going to die when these models have been wrong so many times in the past. Now, part of the problem with this misinformation, this bad data, or at least bad data analytics, is it's frequently used, well, to do bad things. And probably one of the ones we see today is cancel culture. Sure, you know, the misinformation label has been used to take down posts with real, actual, factual information, truth, you know, to shut down accounts of people who well, actually have truth and data to prove it. Is driving this whole, in many ways, it's being used to drive this cancel culture. But take, for example, there is a biological truth. There are two sexes. By the way, people don't have gender. Languages have gender. But that's, you know, details matter. Now there's a group in Michigan that's trying to pass a law. I guess they passed a law in the House. They want to fine and incarcerate people for making somebody feel threatened by terminology, including using the wrong pronouns. And I think it's gone through the Michigan House. If it actually is enacted into law, it'll make it a felony hate crime, punishable by up to 5 years in prison, and $10,000 fine for causing someone to feel bad, to feel terrorized, frightened, or threatened because you used the pronoun that may accurately describe them, but they don't like it. Anybody else sensing a pattern here? See, the interesting thing about this whole misinformation and cancel culture is it's about intimidation, it's bullying, it's tyranny. I believe it was in the Webster's 1828 dictionary in his definition of liberty, where he stated a positive law not necessary for the safety or security of society is tyranny. That's what's coming out of Michigan. We're gonna, you know, people are not actually dying because you use the wrong pronoun. People aren't physically injured because you, but they feel bad. Now making someone feel bad is the equivalent of physically hurting them. I'm curious, what is the penalty for assault in Michigan? Now, I did a quick search and I found, criminaldefenselawyer.com. So take this with whatever you wish. They say assault is defined as either an attempt to cause physical harm or an act that puts another in reasonable fear of physical harm. Assault and battery basically is you actually completed the assault. In other words, you didn't just attempt it, you actually physically assaulted them. So what are the penalties? Well, there's a lot of things that control the penalties. For example, simple assault, someone who assaults or commits assault and battery, is a misdemeanor with 93 days in jail and a $500 fine. If assault is serious or aggravated injury, right? So you seriously hurt somebody, well, you can spend a year in jail and pay a $1,000 fine. Now, felony assault generally deals of you're dealing with a protected employee, in other words, police officers, firefighters, EMS, stuff like that, or assault with a weapon. Now, in felony assault, in order to get 5 years in prison, the victim must need medical care for bodily injuries. In other words, you didn't just scratch and scrape them. They needed to go to the doc. They needed medical care. But get this, felonious assault with a weapon, right? If you use a weapon to assault somebody, that's punishable by a $2,000 fine and 4 years in jail. Yeah, that's right. In Michigan, they want it to be, they want using the wrong pronoun. They view that as more harmful, more dangerous, more injurious to somebody than assaulting them with a weapon. Anyone else think we've gone to cuckoo land? This is crazy. This is we're detached from truth. There's no anchor. There's no compass pointing towards truth. We've gone nuts. Now, granted, this hasn't become law yet. It hasn't passed the entire legislature, but there were enough representatives in the Michigan House to pass this bill that treats using the wrong pronoun as more damaging than assaulting someone with a weapon. This, that's not just misinformation. That is cancel culture. Understand, the reason they do this, to the best of my understanding, is not because they think that, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not that they think that's a lie. See, it's an attempt to intimidate you, to control you, to cancel anybody who disagrees with this pronoun nonsense. The fact that someone is mentally disturbed enough to think that a boy can become a girl because they say so, that we're going to just bastardize the English language because you don't, you know, because you have a mental problem. That's what this is about. This is tyranny. This is intimidation. This is the governmental equivalent of, gee, nice business you have here. It'd be terrible if something happened to it. Of course, if you pay us money, we'll make sure that nothing happens to it. But that's what this is. This is a shakedown. And it's happening in the state of Michigan. What happens when someone tries to do this, not just in the state of Michigan? What happens when they try to do this at a federal level? This next story made me laugh. And again, not necessarily for a good reason. See, I used to love Ben & Jerry's ice cream. There was some of their flavors. I loved it. It was delicious. Then I found some of what these idiots were saying and said, nah, I don't think I want to support people with these whacked out ideas. So I have not eaten Ben & Jerry's ice cream for probably 15, 20 years now. Been a long time. I don't know how long it's been. Been a long time. So when I saw this, that, first of all, Ben & Jerry's come out with this just absolutely ridiculous inflammatory tweet. They said, this 4th of July, it's high time we recognize that the U.S. exists on stolen indigenous land and commit to returning it. Really? Stolen? Where's your evidence? You've just accused the American people of committing a crime and wanting restitution. Where's your evidence? Of course, they have none because it's baloney. It's just more of their whacked out nonsense. It's one of the reasons why I won't buy their product, even though they were purchased by Unilever, and you know it's not these two, you know, these two bozos. But I don't want to deal with that stupid. And then this story popped up. You see, the New York Post reports that on Friday, Don Stevens, chief of the Milhagen Band of the Kuksuk Abenaki Nation, one of four tribes descended from the Abenaki that are recognized in Vermont, told the Post in an interview that he looks forward to any kind of correspondence with the brand to see how they can better benefit indigenous people. Stevens added that if the ice cream maker is sincere, it should reach out to him as the company's headquarters, located at, gave it an address, is situated on Western Abenaki land. See, he says, if you look at the Abenaki traditional way of being, we are place-based people. Before recognized tribes in the state, we were the ones who were in this place. Okay. No, not surprisingly, representatives of Ben & Jerry's didn't respond immediately to it. But if you're saying it's all stolen, here's a guy says, hey, I'm part of the tribe that stolen land came from. Are you going to give it back? I'm looking forward to talking to you about it. Hoist on their own petard or their own foolishness. Take your pick. But you see what we're dealing with? Ben & Jerry's is more than willing to extort other people for their agenda, right? They want Mount Rushmore to be destroyed and handed back over to the indigenous cultures. You're going to do that to your corporate headquarters? Somehow, I don't think so. And that's why I keep pointing to the need to have an actual concrete concept of truth. Because without that, people can make up whatever crap they want And if it's, well, it's their truth, then they can go ahead. And they can even be as dishonest and hypocritical as to say, well, you need to give up your land, but we're not going to give up our land because of them. That's just their truth. So when truth becomes a lie, and when the lie becomes truth, where do we go? Where do we stand? How do we decide how to move forward when we can't even agree on the fact that there is a concept of truth in many cases? See, part of me just wants to point at the stupid and laugh, but part of me looks at this and saying, how many people have been taken in by this nonsense? How many people have been so disconnected from a fixed point of reference they wouldn't know truth if it slapped them in the face? How many people continue to argue the lie because they won't bother to check to see if the sources make sense, if there's actually a fact to prove what they are saying? I deal with that all the time here. Now, one of the best ways to get you to consider what is and isn't true is to listen to different points of view. It's a great reason why you should head to AmericaOutloud.news every day to find out the news and happenings from different points of view. And you may have noticed the URL is different, right? AmericaOutloud.com still works, but AmericaOutloud.news is kind of the new feature. This is what we're trying to do, to be more of a news outlet. So you can go there and you can find the stories and the articles and the podcasts, the videos that maybe challenge your preconceived notions, challenge your ideas, and share them. Share them with friends, share them with family, yes, even share them on social media. Because if we want to live with the blessings of liberty, we need to have a functioning definition of truth. And by sharing the contradictory ideas, by sharing and showing the ridiculous of what some people are calling truth, you can help us as we secure those blessings of liberty for everyone.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're asking, what happens when truth is a lie? What does the world look like? Being a good old-fashioned Star Trek fan, I am, of course, reminded of this scene from the I, Mud episode of the original series.
I lied.
What? You lied. Everything Harry tells you is a lie. Remember that. Everything Harry tells you is a lie.
Now, listen to this carefully, Norman. Lying.
You say you are lying, but if everything you say is a lie, then you are telling the truth. But you cannot tell the truth because everything you say is a lie. But you lie, you tell the truth, but you cannot, for you lie. Illogical. Illogical. Please explain.
That's how I feel sometimes when I find some of these articles or I talk to some of these people. And again, I have no problem with people who disagree with me, as long as they can provide some sort of evidence that what they're saying is true. But instead, all you hear is, no, no, that's a lie, or no, no, this is true, and there's no basis for it. And of course, as I say, this is used to control you. It's not simply a question of freedom of speech. It literally is your ability to think, to have information to allow you to consent to ideas. I saw this article on the Federalist. Now remember, we're dealing with the federal government. We have this little thing called the First Amendment, which says that Congress shall make no law abridging freedom of speech or the press. And the Federalist listed, well, here's some of the example times when the Biden administration actually suppressed, or I should say, had information censored on Twitter. They colluded with big tech to impact your speech. On June 23rd, 2021, the White House requested Twitter remove a tweet from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that was critical of COVID-19 vaccines. Of course, you look at the data and those vaccines, they're A, not effective, B, have never been properly safety tested, at least not with a placebo group, and C, in many cases, appear to be dangerous. On February 6, 2021, the White House asked Twitter to ban a parody account linked to Finnegan Biden, Hunter Biden's daughter, and the president's granddaughter. I guess doesn't like that granddaughter? On February 7th, Twitter approved, 2021, Twitter provided White House with a Twitter's partner support portal so they could go in and flag information they wanted removed, they wanted censored, without having to go through that whole pesky email nonsense. And on, and on, and on. So when, you know, people tell you that this idea that the government is censoring you on Twitter is misinformation, no, we've got examples. Now, granted, I'm referring to somebody else's examples. I've talked before about the data coming out of the Twitter files, and I recommend you go, you'll find stuff for yourself. And again, I focus a lot on Twitter, but Facebook apparently has done it as well. Sometime in the last few months, a senior Meta executive sent emails to the White House letting them know that Meta was fulfilling the White House's request to censor alleged COVID-19 misinformation. Apparently on March 21st, 2021, Facebook sent an email to the White House recapping their March 19th in-person meeting where the Biden administration demanded a consistent point of contact with Facebook to do more censorship. That, again, on and on and on, which brings up an interesting question. So if you're not allowed to see information critical of a vaccine, how do you know the vaccine's safe? If people aren't allowed to criticize it, how do you know it's safe? That's a whole concept of science. The people look at the data, they criticize it, they question it. And we have time and time again that the White House and many others have censored this information. But again, they don't simply do it because they don't want to hear what you have to say. It's about manipulating you. It's about denying people informed consent. How many people took the jab because Joe Biden or some news idiot or some celebrity said it was safe and effective without any evidence? Literally, the evidence for it, what little may exist, is laughably, ridiculously inadequate. Even after the explosion of adverse effects in VAERS, you still have Joe Biden claiming it's safe and effective and stops the spread, even though there's no proof that was ever designed to stop the spread or evidence that the stuff is dangerous and does not keep people getting infected. Joe Biden himself is proof that is data that shows that the vaccine, because he's been vaccinated 6 weeks from Sunday, and he still keeps getting COVID-19. But you were told that the vaccines don't work is misinformation. The truth is a lie. And those lies may turn to be deadly. And I'm not simply talking about the effects of COVID-19, but the effects on so much of our lives. If you don't have the data, how can you make an informed consent? And if you can't make an informed consent, how do you know? How do you have any clue that what you're consenting to is the right decision to make? Sometimes, though, the misinformation is a lie of omission. Take, for example, the federal judge recently sentenced the El Paso Walmart mass murderer to 90 consecutive life sentences. So he's going to be in jail for a while. Now, here's what's interesting. USA Today, Forbes, and the Dallas Morning News describe this dude, this monster, as a white supremacist. The Washington Post referred to him as a white nationalist. The Texas Tribune said he was a racist who wanted to shoot as many Mexicans as possible. The headlines, by the way, from the Associated Press claim that white gunman to be sentenced for killing 23 people in a racist Walmart attack in a Texas border city. And Rolling Stone noted that white supremacists who killed 23 in El Paso Walmart received 90 consecutive life sentences. Now, all that is absolutely true. But you see, there's one very important piece of this news, quote unquote, missing. You see, Newsweek claimed that this murderer was far right. NBC was referred to as a right wing extremist, and the Anti-Defamation League listed this murderer as a right wing extremist. But he's not right wing, at least according to any normal definition. You see, in his manifesto, this supposedly right wing extremist says, the definition of the environment is creating a massive burden for future generations. The next logical step is to decrease the number of people in America using resources. If we can get rid of enough people, then our way of life can be more sustainable. That doesn't sound like a right wing. It sounds like an environmentalist extremist. Not generally someone to be associated with the quote unquote right wing of the political spectrum. This is not an isolated incident. The Buffalo, New York mass murderer, and he was a racist, but he labeled himself an eco-fascist national socialist. And he was also as part of the mild, moderate, authoritarian left. You see, he worried minorities were having too many children and that damages the environment. He said the invaders are the ones overpopulating the world. He claimed, kill the invaders, kill the overpopulation, and by doing so, save the environment. Now, I agree. These people are racist, they're whack jobs, and they deserve to be put away. But wouldn't it be nice if the so-called news media actually told you, the whole story, or at least the rest of the story? In other words, didn't simply assume that because someone used a gun, they were right-wing extremists. Maybe look at the truth. Maybe these environmentalist extremists need to be looked at as well. Because if all you're going to do is blame the gun and not the person doing the shooting or the rationale behind it, as irrational as it may be, then you're never going to fix the problem. Because you've disconnected yourself from the truth. I've been saying for quite a while that facts matter, that words matter, and that truth matters. In fact, when I did my recent boot camp, the opening to the boot camp was all about establishing a solid foundation upon which to make decisions and pursue a future. Now, that may seem ridiculous to some people today, but follow me on this, because I used four platforms, to build a solid foundation for my study and for what I'm teaching other people to study as well. And the first thing is to recognize it's only an opinion until somebody provides proof. Just because someone says it's true, it's still only an opinion. Now, if that opinion is based on something real, well, then maybe it's worth some value. But they've got to provide you the truth for it. It's one of the reasons why I quote so many times, and I tell you where I get the quotes. When I write my articles, I give you links to where I find these quotes because I want you to double check what I'm saying, to go there and see, is what Paul's saying, is there facts behind what people are saying? I also point out that an expert opinion is just an opinion. You know, I was listening to an interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson, a well-known celebrity scientist. And they were talking about, COVID or the vaccine. But he kept saying, well, the consensus is, and I kept saying to myself, because I wasn't there, but what if the consensus is wrong? How often has the consensus been wrong? The consensus once said the world was flat. That the sun revolved around the earth, that man could not travel faster than the speed of sound. All of these were the consensus of opinion of the smartest men, the most brilliant men of the time, the scientists, and they were all wrong. So if it's simply because an expert says so, what happens when they're wrong? If all it takes is a consensus of wrong to go in the wrong direction, that doesn't mean you don't get to the answer you're looking for. And probably the most powerful thing, if you want to understand whether you're being told the truth or a lie, right, is find the original source. Go to the original document. Go to the original speaker. As close as you can, get to the original source. We've all played the game telephone sometime, right? You get a room full of people. Usually they do it with young kids. You whisper into one kid's ear something, and they whisper to the next kid, the next kid, the next kid. And by the time it gets all the way around the room, what comes out of the last kid's mouth is completely different to what you started with. That's the way this works. If we don't have an anchor to truth, that's what happens. It's not that it's the bald-faced, ridiculous, out-of-your-mind lie. It starts out as just a little bit off, and then a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more. I analogize it to a ship, right? And, you're on course for your destination. Hey, you drift a little off course. It's easy to course correct. But if once you drift off course, you then turn and drift farther and farther and farther. And pretty soon you're going completely the wrong direction. If we do not have that functional anchor, those radio stations, the stars in the sky, if we don't have these immovable objects of truth, then there is no way we can live as a United States, as a people. Because no matter what you say, someone is going to call you names, claim you're wrong. Now, for decades, maybe even a couple of centuries, we recognize that the way to deal with misinformation was good information. You deal with bad information by providing good information. It was the tyrants. It was the Soviet Union. It was communist China. It was North Vietnam. It was the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. It was the Ayatollahs in Iran. It was what's his name down in Venezuela. It was Castro in Cuba that had to suppress the truth to maintain their position. What does that say about America today? When the Biden administration, the legislature, in many cases the courts, have to deny the truth in order to get their agenda passed. See, if everyone does what's right in their own mind, if everyone defines for themselves what is truth and is able to reject everything else, regardless of whether there's facts and data behind it, we end up in a world where the biggest bully, the biggest intimidator, the leader luckier or more capable than others, destroys our public liberty. Because just as the White House has said, we cannot allow information that contradicts us to be heard on these platforms, then truth dies and liberty dies. wisdom dies. As Benjamin Franklin said, right? Writing in Silence Do Good. You lose freedom of thought, you lose wisdom. Without freedom of speech, there can be no such thing as public liberty. And without public liberty, we're slaves. And that's the direction that America is heading. The good news is you don't have to join them. But it takes time, it takes effort, it takes preparation to defend and assert your rights, which is what we are trying to do here at the Constitution Study. So I hope you'll check out the website, constitutionstudy.com, find out more about what we're doing. I also hope you'll join us here for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Now, if you can't listen then, all the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio, and you can listen on your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show, leave me a rating and review, especially on Apple Podcasts. It's how other people can find the Constitution Study. It's how they can see that people like or and enjoy what they're hearing. They read the reviews. Maybe, just maybe, they'll give us a try. Who knows? Maybe they'll be exposed to the idea of truth as well. And you can find the links for everything you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. That's right, it's a new URL. It's AmericaOutloud.news. And don't worry, America Out Loud still works, but try AmericaOutloud.news. But I'm going to ask you to share that information. See, by sharing other points of view and sharing the facts and data behind them, we share the blessings of liberty.